Hi, I'm Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Boundless Podcast. Your financial gifts make this download possible, so I hope you'll go to focusonthefamily.com/donate. And again, thanks for helping families thrive.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. And before we do anything else, before we even get started with the show, I have to let you know that today is the day. It has finally come, the time to register for, dun-dun-dun, the official name is Pursuit 2014, the first ever Boundless event that is going to be held here in Colorado Springs at our Boundless campus. It's also Focus on the Family's campus, but we share it with them. No, I'm just teasing. August 7th through 9th, this summer, you have already saved the date. Many, many, many of you have. And so now it is time to make it official and to actually sign up. We have a limited number of spots, and we have more people that have saved the date than we have spots for, basically. So that's a scary business, but it's good news for us. But here's the deal. Actually, register now if you can multitask and do this while you're listening to the show, because the first 50 guys and the first 50 girls to register are going to get like a VIP status for the conference. It's going to get you preferred seating at the venue. It's going to also get you admittance to a special meet and greet, an exclusive meet and greet with Boundless staff, Boundless contributors, some of the folks who are going to be in our sphere during that time, right before the event starts. So that's kind of some fun stuff. Your chance to get all up in people's business, the bloggers that you love, the people that, you know, you just kind of wish you could have talked their ear off or asked them a question about that article they wrote or whatever. This is your opportunity to do that. So this is a great incentive to get online right now and register. You want to go to boundless.org/pursuit. Again, that is boundless.org/pursuit, and we hope we will see you this summer. I'm already excited about it. I'm also very nervous about it. Don't even get me started. I will lose probably 10 years off my life as a result of this event, so I hope you all are happy. Okay, and now on to the show. This week's show sponsor, we love it when we get sponsors. We love our sponsors because they keep us alive. So this week's sponsor is the Courtship Journal and Keepsake. We want you to know about them. They are a tool to help you navigate your search for a lifelong mate, and you can learn more about them at courtshipjournalandkeepsake.com. Okay, later on for our inbox segment, we have our own Andrew Hess here. He's going to answer a question from a girl who is wondering if she is, quite frankly, too spiritual to date. So who better to answer this than the guy who reads Puritans and talks about theology? Is she too spiritual for him? Who knows? I don't know. We're going to find out. But he's going to give some general principles for that. And she's just wondering about, you know, a man being able to lead her and all that kind of stuff. So then for our culture segment, we have Dr. Clarence Schuler here. He is the author of Single and Free to Be Me, a lot of great dating and singleness principles, as he is one of those guys that got married later in life and has learned a lot along the way and now is speaking often to single young adults. So as we're talking about dating, and of course we're in a new year here, I'm very privileged to lead a roundtable. We're actually going to do a two-parter this week and next on dating in 2014. So hopefully people will still be dating in 2014. We don't know. It's early in the year. But we're gonna assemble. We have assembled here a group of single young adults who are going to share their own thoughts about what they're what they see ahead for the year, what they've already seen maybe this month, and kind of what expectations are, what kind of the current vibe, the current scene is in the world of singleness and dating. So I want to welcome to the table Darren, Mark, Allison, Nina, and Sarah. Welcome, all of you.
Hi, Lisa.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and just kick this off, because I want to know, I mean, as we're, and of course we all go through seasons where we're like dating and then we're not dating, or maybe some seasons are longer than others, whatever. But I know that each and every one of you has a general feeling about what dating is like where you are, whether it's in your church, whether it's in your workplace, your group of friends, or whatever. What would you say, you know, last year, like if you had to sum up last year, kind of some of the things that you saw, and then going into this year, I mean, what would you say is kind of some characteristics of the current dating scene among Christian young adults in the groups that you're in?
I think that people are typically open to dating, but especially in smaller Christian circles, a lot of people are making sure that the person that they pick out of, you know, the friends group, because I think a lot of Christians, we run in, you know, packs. We run in, you know, church communities or things like that. And so you've got If you're like the average group, you've got 2/3 girls and 1/3 guys. And so the guys,
ratio.
just saying, so the guys are trying to figure out, you know, hey, you know, all these girls are great. You know, is there any that specifically picks out my eye? And then if there is, you know, they go through the super awkward, like, hey, we're getting to know each other. Everyone knows that, you know, something's coming up. And then, you know, they sort of move on from there. So that's how I see the current scene.
Okay. Now, do you girls see a frustration with that? Like, do you see that in most, like, singles groups or circles where there are more girls than guys? And is your, what is your impression about that kind of ratio?
I'd say absolutely there's more girls than guys in, like, most of those groups. I haven't really gotten to my young adult group in a long time because I'm a youth leader at my church. But, I just kind of wonder, like, where the guys in my church actually are, because I don't see them very often, except if they're serving in youth ministry with me. So I'm not really sure where they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Allison and I actually go to the same church, and I can totally say that is 100% correct. Because it seems like there's quite a few. We have 3 fairly large services at our church each weekend, and it seems like there are a lot of younger people. We're so close to the Air Force Academy here in Colorado Springs that you can spot a cadet pretty easily, and you know that if they're in their military dress, then that means that they are freshmen.
They're too young for me.
Right. So it's definitely like not Allison and I's, like, probably the age that we'd go for, and it seems like everyone else is either married or older.
It's a sad day when you're in your mid-20s and the guys are too young for you.
That's a
sad commentary for where we are. Oh. Okay. Now, would you guys say, like, based on what Darren said about, you know, the guys are trying to figure out, you know, okay, they have all these girls in front of them and stuff, and how, I mean, I think for some guys it's just a genuine issue of feeling like, okay, you know, some guys are overwhelmed by choice or whatever, but does that kind of rankle with you girls? Like, these guys have all this choice and they're just, you know, they have the pick of any crop and any girl, and, you know, some girls say guys are just dating around, or then they don't choose anyone, and that's frustrating. Do you see, like, that frustration surface at all among women?
I think Darren and I actually go to the same church, so we're in the same young adults group, and I think the guys, I mean, from what I've observed, there have been a good amount of guys that have gone after some of the girls in our group, and I think that's been great. People seem to be moving towards relationships, which is great. So I think it's just hard. It's just hard with the ratio. That's the case at our young adults group too, is the girls definitely outnumber the guys. So that kind of makes it hard for the guys if they're, you know, if things aren't clicking, or if there's just not anyone they're interested in, and then there's all these girls. I think that's a frustration for girls, but that's not, it's just, I think because of the number, it's just how many. Yeah.
Is there a, what would you guys say about the general vibe or philosophy of dating in your circles right now? I mean, if someone's going to ask you out, or if you're going to ask someone out, do you assume that that person would date in the same way you would, or that, you know, because I know in the 90s, like, courtship was really big. Josh Harris wrote his book, and it was kind of like, if you're not into courting, you're probably not even a Christian, or, you know, whatever. I mean, where has that played out now? Like, what's the general assumption? I mean, let's hear from the guys first, as far as, like, if you thought you were going to ask a girl out, what do you think is actually going to happen? Like, what do you hope is actually going to happen, and how that's going to play out?
Well, of course, there's going to be some differences. Honestly, I think from what I've seen, there's people are just a lot pickier nowadays because you can pick and choose. I mean, it's the whole technological age sort of thing. It's you can pick what you want. Fast food, you drive up and you order what you want. So I think we've kind of come to that conclusion that we're looking for specifics in people, and if we don't get them, we just move on to the next instead of trying to work with what we have. And I honestly see it as a problem.
Yeah, too much choice.
As far as me, I mean, I grew up, you know, in the age, like, my youth group went through, you know, I Kissed Dating Goodbye and whatever. And so I feel like, having read that, you know, you automatically, you're thinking, hey, I want to date someone if I can see, you know, marriage coming around. And so, you know, that's what you're hoping that it'll lead to. And you're trying to toe the line between, hey, I don't want to just, you know, ask out, you know, 5 of the girls from my friend group over the course of, you know, a month and, you know, be that guy. But then I also don't want to be the guy that, you know, just never, you know, ends up pursuing anyone if they do catch my eye. And so, you know, you sort of toe the line, and we have, you know, even from our friend community, we have, you know, some people that go, you know, hey, it's just like a date, it's just going out for coffee or just going out to eat. And we'll see if, you know, anything sort of triggers. And then you have the people that are like, hey, I'm just going to be friends with all of you. We'll have a bunch of like friend group hangouts and, you know, I'll get to know all of you sort of collectively. And then if one person stands out to me, I'll pursue after that. Mm-hmm. And so I think the, you know, as we've grown out of that, you know, Joshua Harris sort of age, you know, that sort of has affected us even as we go into our 20s and late 20s. Mm-hmm.
I'm actually surprised by the number of women I hear from, whether I'm on college campuses or talking to young adult single women who have not like ever gone on a date. Do you guys see that more and more often? I mean, kind of this idea of, you know, and I think a lot of the women's frustration is a guy won't even ask me out unless he thinks that he can marry me, you know, or that kind of thing. Do you see kind of that prolonged, like checking people out for a long time and less of just the, hey, it's just a date or whatever? Because I understand Darren's point of you don't want to be a serial dater. You don't want to just be the, well, why do I want to ask you out? Because you're in front of me, you know, or whatever. So having some discretion, hopefully. But what about the women that just literally aren't dating at all?
I'd say there are some girls who really just want to date Jesus. And like, you know, guys can't live up to that standard. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, I mean, it's kind of crazy to hold a guy to that standard. It's like you can't even hold yourself to that standard. So why would you expect all that? And kind of the same thing Mark was speaking to about kind of having those like boxes that you want to check. And I've seen a lot of my friends do that. Well, you know, like, he's not really my type, or he's not really, and they don't really give the guy a chance. So that's kind of a bummer. But yeah, I've seen that. And then I've also seen girls that are willing to date anyone because they're just so desperate to be married. Like, I have one friend who jokes that, like, she'll see a guy, like, walking along the street and she'll be picturing what their future kids look like. So, so I mean, like, it's just, that's, like, I've seen some girls kind of go that route as well. So I don't know. I think it could fall into either camp there, like being really, really picky or being really, really not picky at all and just wanting to go out with any guy who loves Jesus and whatever other quality fill in the blank. But
yeah.
I think a lot of times I'll have some of my girlfriends or just friends in general, they'll be like, hey, I should, you know, since you're single and obviously not going anywhere with your life, why don't you date this person? And it's like, just because I have a pulse and this person does too doesn't mean that we're going to make a match.
That's
and,
hilarious.
And so, and I, you know, sometimes people will say like, well, as you get older, the pool gets, you know, thinner and thinner or more shallow. And like, you're not going to have much to pick from. And it, you know, part of that is just thinking like, you know what, I have, my trust is in the Lord, and not to over spiritualize things, but you know, that's just part of the story that the Lord has me on. And just kind of resting in that trust, whether, you know, not going to either extreme, like you were saying, Allison, where it's just like, I'll date anyone that's male, or going to a point where it's like, well, you know, this person is not perfect. And until they are, I'm not going to even give them a second look.
Okay. What about this idea that, I mean, do you feel, what about timelines as far as people, as far as their age, where they are now, getting in a serious relationship and moving towards marriage? I know we, you know, when, you know, a decade ago, it was very much wait for a while, do all this cool stuff. Then it kind of became, no, now you need to get married, especially if you were on Christian campuses. It was like you should be engaged by the time you're graduating. And then now it seems to kind of be back to that whole, no, I want to, you know, start a ministry in Uganda. I need to go on all these missions trips. I need to, what's the, as far as timeline, like what, as you talk to single young adults, what is kind of that age that becomes like that, now you're getting a little old. Now you're kind of that threshold of, okay, this is okay to be single and be out and out and about and maybe not dating. But just kind of that general timeline idea. What do you guys think about
that? Well, I don't think you can classify it as an age. I think you have to look at this, the maturity level and the where they are spiritually also. Because if you just, because, you know, you can be 40 and still act like a teenager. You can be 20 and act like you're an old adult. So you just kind of have to assess yourself, have your close friends assess you, and just kind of relay that back and forth, have discussions, do it through small groups. I think it's healthy to talk about that kind of stuff. I don't think it's good to push it under the table and just forget about it and then just assume that you're good to go and just jump into it. It's one of those things you just have to keep you know, questioning yourself and testing yourself, I guess, too.
I think I don't want to make any enemies here, so I'm going to put this out as the rule. 10 years from where you are now, if you're not married, that's not good, essentially. I've heard that, I think, twice in the last 2 weeks. But, you know, someone's 25, they are like, hey, I don't want to be single at 35. Or someone's 23, they're like, hey, I don't want to be, you know, single at 33. And I don't know, maybe that doesn't hold after the 20s, but that seems to be the sort of timeline that I'm seeing here from my standpoint.
I think everyone assumes that they're going to be married at about 28 or 29. And a lot of people I talk to, it's like not before, but certainly not after. It's like 30 is kind of like the no, you should be having kids by then. It's just a weird arbitrary age, it seems. Yeah, 30 is a big...
It seems like for our young adults group and, or just people around our age that I've been observing, it's sometimes I see it as like hangout mode, like let's hang out and have the benefits of company together, but not we don't want the responsibility of marriage and the baggage of relationships and all those things. So that I feel like with our age group, that's where it's at overall, just from what I observe. But.
And to that point, do you think a lot of young adults, singles, are kind of getting into that comfort zone where because of friend groups or singles groups or whatever, you kind of, you can go skiing with a bunch of people because they have organized it, or you can watch the Super Bowl together because, hey, we have a party, or you can. So it's like not motivating people to go out and initiate relationships?
I think that, again, it comes back to the towing the line, because the guys are afraid that, at least from what I've seen, the guys are afraid if they show an interest in a girl, even if it's just like, hey, coffee, or hey, you know, a couple of dates, we'll see where this goes sort of thing. Their worry, especially if they're like good Christian guys, is that they're, while they're thinking, hey, this is the second date, the girls are shopping on Pinterest for the wedding dress. Like, boom, done. Like, and they don't want to do that. And so for them, from a guy's perspective, the friend group is sort of a safe haven because they know that no girls are like sizing their, you know, ring finger up for a big diamond. You know, they know that there's no pressure or anything like that. And yet they can still, you know, have a good time and get to know, you know, the people better, both male and female.
But I think that can be remedied with just a little honesty too, though. If you want to take a girl out for coffee, just be straight up and honest. Just say, you know, I'm not sure where I'm at. I'm not sure if I want to pursue a relationship, but, you know, if it happens, it happens. But, I just want to let you know to not jump to conclusions.
Don't start putting your last name with mine.
Okay. What do you girls think about that? Kind of that idea of how guys don't want to be so, you know, they feel like women can be very presumptive when it comes to just a coffee date.
I can understand the fear, you know, with that, because like I would think that for guys that'd be kind of annoying, you know what I mean, and that you wouldn't want to just wade into those waters, like, oh my gosh, we don't know what's in there in those waters. But on the other hand, I've also seen guys that like, and I have guy friends like this that have just been my friend forever, and like, you know, it's like, well, we've been friends for 5 years, like, have you ever thought that, like, maybe, you know, it could go anywhere else? Or have you ever... So, and I've seen that with a lot of, you know, girlfriends in my life, too, you know, that they have these friendships with guys that are just not going anywhere, and they're all kind of marrying age. And so that can get kind of awkward, too. So
what are your biggest fears of either asking a girl out or being asked out? Do you feel like, and this is kind of getting circling back to where I was at the beginning, of just, are the expectations generally the same? Because I feel like I've been on dates where all of a sudden, like, he's not paying, or I'm not sure if it's a date. I don't even know, you know. I feel like more guys have asked me out who I don't even know than the ones that ask me. And it just becomes, like, super awkward. So what are, you know, what are your feelings about the dating process and what people's assumptions are or their expectations for dating nowadays?
I think it's still, if the guy pays for you, it's a date, unless you've, you know, previously clarified or something like that. Like, a friend of mine is leaving for Africa, and so we went and caught a movie, and I paid just because, like, I was already there. I was, like, paying. It was previously established. Sorry, it doesn't make any sense. Right. It was previously established that we were
so
just
married.
Hanging.
You're like, oh my goodness.
We were just hanging out as friends. Had been previously established in the evening. So I felt it was okay to pay for both of us just as a, like, friend sort of thing. But if you haven't previously established that, if he pays, then it's a date.
Okay.
I think it should be on both sides. You know, men and women, I don't think there should be one that should be the, you know, the one that pays over the other. I'm going to pay, but that's just my own personal thing. So I think that should just be something that should be discussed.
I can't speak to the paying thing, but I think that it shouldn't be taken too seriously, like, from either side, you know? Like, if you kind of go in, I think, like Mark was saying earlier, like, I want to get, just be honest. Like, I want to get to know you. You seem like a cool person. Like, that's the kind of dating I'm comfortable with on both sides, you know? So,
Yeah, I'm kind of old school, I guess, when it comes to that. And if it's a date, I guess I assume that the guy's going to pay, but I had an awkward experience once when I didn't want the pressure. I didn't know if it was technically, I mean, I knew it was a date, but I wanted to just get to know a guy as a friend. And so I asked him to not pay for me. And I think I just made it really, really awkward for him. So I won't do that again, but yeah.
That's called over clarification.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever you do, do not pay for me. Okay.
Well, I was, kind of set up on a blind date not too long ago, and I didn't really have a good time with this gentleman anyway. But one of the major things that really bothered me is that we got up to pay. We're getting like a pizza, and this restaurant wasn't a sit-down restaurant. Like, you get it and you pay right there. And he was just like, and then I was like, I can pay if I need to. And he goes, okay. And so I was like, well, strike three, you're done. Yeah, like, it burn. Was really uncomfortable. So that was kind of like the nail in the coffin.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you. Okay, well, next time around, next week, we're going to delve into, kind of explore a few of these topics a little bit more. And then also we're going to talk about an article we have coming out next week that I think a lot of our readers and listeners will have fun with. So looking forward to that discussion. So you guys up for part two?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right.